The Expulsions and Executions of the Eastern Germans, Part 4. The Stolen Suffering of the Sudetenland. Sudeten refers to a mountain range 200 miles long and 20 to 40 miles wide, covering the north of Bohemia and Moravia, as well as part of Sudeten Silesia. Germans inhabited this quote-unquote Czech territory well before Slavic tribes arrived around 500 AD, although major German settlement in the Sudeten began during the reign of King Przemysl Otakar II in the 13th century, when the area was largely uninhabited and heavily forested. For centuries, Czechs were but a very small minority there. And we'll start with the background of the Sudetenland, taking us up until World War II. Bohemia itself owed its name to the prehistoric Celtic Boii, who occupied the country. The land was then occupied by German tribes around 78 BC, and some years after the birth of Christ, King Marbod the Markoman united the German tribes as far as the North and Baltic Sea to form a great confederation which menaced the Roman Empire. When these tribes left Bohemia and Moravia in the 6th century, Slavs, under the general name of Chechen or Czechs, first came in from the northeast. Bohemia went back and forth between Celts, Germans, Hungarians and Slavs, but German and Latin remained the prevalent language of the aristocracy in southern Bohemia and Moravia, as well as in parts of North Moravia and northeast Bohemia from the 11th century, even among the royal house of the Przemyslid dynasty. Around 1306, Bohemia came under the sway of John of Luxembourg and the Bohemian rulers of the Luxembourg line. From Karl I of Bohemia, he was the Emperor Karl IV, until the extinction of the dynasty at the death of Sigismund in 1437. They were all German emperors. Bohemia reached the height of its prosperity under Emperor Karl IV, who conquered Silesia, and also briefly occupied the Mark of Brandenburg and the Upper Palatinate. In 1348, Karl founded the University of Prague, the first university on German soil. By his Golden Bull, Karl IV gave Bohemia the highest secular electoral dignity of the Holy Roman Empire. After 1437, Bohemia was ruled by kings of various lines until King Ludwig II of Bohemia and Hungary died in the Battle of Mohacs in 1526. After this battle, both Bohemia and Hungary came into the possession of Ferdinand I of Habsburg, who had married the sister of Ludwig II, and the land was part of the monarchy. When the Czech Protestant aristocracy was defeated in the Thirty Years' War, German language and culture remained dominant for three centuries under the Austro-Hungarian Empire. There were large German-speaking populations in Prague, Brünn, and German majorities in Karlsberg, Krumau, Znaim, and Reichenberg. The Germans became a third of the population of Bohemia and Moravia. In 1860, Prague lost its German majority, which had remained there since the Middle Ages. All of Bohemia had a population of 6,318,697 in December of 1900, and was one of the most thickly settled of the Empire's provinces, with Czechs forming 63% of the population and Germans 36%. The Germans lived chiefly near the boundaries of the country, especially near the northern and northwestern boundaries. They spoke in dialects which are now extinct. Saxon in North Bohemia, Frankish Egerlandish in West Bohemia, Silesian German in Silesia and North Moravia, and Bavarian Austrian in South Bohemia and Moravia. Czech and German-speaking inhabitants generally lived peacefully together. Until their expulsion in 1945, over 3 million Sudeten Germans formed the majority in West, North and South Bohemia, as well as in parts of North and South Moravia. The first humans who settled the lofty and rugged Reisenberg mountain range on the boundary of Silesia and Bohemia, between the upper courses of the Elbe and the Oder rivers, were Germans, who called the mountains Das Gebirge, the mountains, and referred to its highest peak as Reisenberg, or Giant Mountain, the latter being first mentioned in 1504. The area was alpine in feel and look, and contained mountain huts, cottage industries, and was home to a distinct mountain culture. Czech nationalism revived in the 19th century, but it wasn't until World War I that Czech politicians, greatly encouraged by the Allies, began to consider independence from Vienna. From exile in the United States, Thomas Garrigue Masaryk and his colleague Edvard Beneš, later the first and second Czech presidents, laid the foundations for an independent Czech state. Czechoslovakia was founded on October 28, 1918, ostensibly as a modern democratic state based on the USA, but it never was. Almost immediately, the nationalistic Czech government began to truck Czechs into German areas to ensure a voting majority, and the enticement extended even into the distinctly German areas on the Bohemian side of the Reisenberg mountain range. The new Czech government was supposed to guarantee the 3 million Germans fair minority rights. It didn't. In December 1918, in order to gain a voting majority and thus invalidate the claims of the Sudeten Germans, the Czech military invaded and occupied the German regions. When on March 14, 1919, the Sudeten Germans rallied in peaceful demonstrations to protest against this occupation, they were attacked by the Czech army, who murdered 54 of them and injured hundreds. With the 1919 dictate of Saint-Germain, the ruthless annexation of Sudeten German territory by the new Czechoslovakia was sanctioned by the Allied powers. In Slovakia, main German settlements were the region of Zips and the city of Pressburg. In 1910, Slovaks were only 14.8% of its population, and Pressburg had an ancient Germanic and Magyar history and was built and made prosperous by those Hungarian and German traders and scholars. Havelland in central Slovakia was also full of German towns and many old mining communities. Overnight, Pressburg became Bratislava, a name suggested by a meddling Woodrow Wilson himself in March 1919, after Germany and Austria lost the First World War. As Slovakia became semi-independent in 1919, the 180,000 Carpathian Germans became second-class citizens overnight, but they at least had some minority rights. Even German schools were allowed to reopen. In 1930, even after attempts to artificially restock the area with Slovaks, there was still a German population of 31,000 in Pressburg itself and 19,000 in the environs. The Czechoslovak census of 1930 cited 154,821 ethnic Germans in Slovakia. Most were by then Czechoslovak citizens. The new Czechoslovakian government began to implement a policy of discrimination against the Sudeten Germans by suppressing German language and culture, firing Germans in the civil service, and by devaluing their self-determination organizations in districts, towns, and villages, guided by the idea of cleaning the state of everything German, except, of course, for the industry, businesses, farms, resorts, roads, hospitals and schools that the Germans had created over the many centuries they had been there. In 1938, the so-called Sudeten crisis reached its maximum. Government representatives from Great Britain attested to the harsh treatment and murder that ethnic Germans were suffering, and both Great Britain and France asked Czechoslovakia to cede the German Sudetenland to Germany. Czechoslovakia accepted this requirement, the agreement of which was formally signed in Munich on September 29, 1938. However, in 1939, President Beeny's government in exile began to work fervently from Britain, and his murderous plans did not include any provisions for the German-speaking community. With the German defeat after World War II, his violent plans were realized.
You're tuned in to Radio Stormer on thedailystormer.com.
Sudeten German civilians, on the basis of their ethnic identity alone, and although they themselves were not personally responsible for the suffering of the Czech people, were held accountable for all wartime Czech suffering by means of collective guilt. Hence, to this day, their expulsion and the severe hardships which more than 3 million people endured, the loss of everything they possessed, and the vicious cruelty inflicted upon them in one of the largest forced population transfers in history, is viewed by some, including the majority of Czechs, as fully justified and even commendable. The unique Sudeten and Carpathian German communities have vanished from the earth. The Czech government has never made any admission of guilt for their role in this horrendous, flagrant human rights violation. Indeed, the Beneš decrees that granted immunity to Czech citizens for expelling Germans and confiscating their property without compensation is still on the books, and legally, the rape, theft, or even murder of a German adult or child is technically legal under this law. The artificially built Second Czechoslovak Republic was abetted by foreign assistance, support, and endorsements, which it received despite the xenophobic Beneš decrees, which substituted the once harmonious coexistence of the Czech, German, Slovak, and Hungarian people with brutality, denial of basic human rights, theft, and murder. Beneš was determined that his Czechoslovakia should not only keep its pre-war borders, but rid itself of its German minority, and after coming to power following the war, it did that with immense greed. Greed was the strongest motive for all of the expulsions. Beneš, or Beans, constructed his decrees as early as 1940, during his exile, suggesting the expulsion of all ethnic Germans from Czechoslovakia and the confiscation of their property, a cold, merciless solution fully supported by both the Allies and the Soviets. The murder and expulsion began in earnest when the Beneš re-Slovakization program started in 1945. Women, children and old people paid the price. All of the pent-up rage at the war, the world, or simply one's personal misfortunes was directed at these civilian non-combatants in a gruesome genocidal mix of punishments. Already in May of 1945, Czech paramilitaries, army units, and gangs of local vigilantes violently drove hundreds of thousands of Germans from their homes and across the borders of devastated and occupied Germany and Austria, torturing and murdering many in what Czechs refer to as the Wild Transfer. The Czechoslovak army played a central role in the horrors. General Zdeněk Novák issued an order to, quote, deport all Germans from territory within the historical borders, close quote, citing the Ten Commandments for Czechoslovak soldiers in the border regions, which directed soldiers that, quote, the Germans have remained our irreconcilable enemies. Do not cease to hate the Germans. Behave towards Germans like a victor. Be harsh to the Germans. German women and the Hitler Youth also bear the blame for the crimes of the Germans. Deal with them too in an uncompromising way. Close quote. On March 28, 1946, the Provisional Czech government formally mandated that all German civilians were to be collectively presumed guilty and stripped of their citizenship and of their property. This included the most barbarous persecution and oppression of minorities humanly imaginable. Rape, deportations, expulsions, internments, kangaroo courts, confiscation of property, and the use of forced labour camps. Over 3.5 million Sudeten Germans were brutally expelled from their homes and farms. Even very old people, much too frail to travel, were evicted and forced into an early death. Beanies and company applied this ruthless policy to ethnic Hungarians as well. The still valid Beanies Decree No. 115 of May 8, 1946, declared all deeds against Germans, down to the rape and murder of children, as justified acts of retribution that could not be prosecuted. This led to unfathomable and sadistic abuses by anyone with a penchant for lust, murder, revenge, or theft. The only exceptions from expulsion were 244,000 ethnic German anti-fascists and other ethnic Germans absolutely crucial for industries stolen from Germans. They were allowed to remain in Czechoslovakia and were worked as slaves for their Czech masters, but only for as long as needed. In 1946, an estimated 1.3 million ethnic Germans were deported to the American zone of future West Germany, and an estimated 800,000 were deported to the Soviet zone, later to be known as East Germany. Thousands of German civilians were interned in concentration camps, where they were murdered by poisoning, intentional starvation, and unchecked disease. 2,061 such camps existed in Czechoslovakia. In the Marisch-Ostrau camp, around 350 people were tortured to death by early July 1945. Foreign observations and primary accounts in documents are rife with tales of Czech police looking the other way as guards physically and sexually abused German women in forced labour camps, often to such a brutal extent that thousands of women committed suicide. Even Soviet observers at the time reported to the Central Committee in Moscow that the Czechs don't kill them, but torment them like livestock. The Czechs look at the Germans like cattle. German civilians thrown into Czech concentration camps ranged in age from 4 to 80 and were crammed together in tents or shacks and slowly starved to death. It is thought that approximately 10,000 people died in Bohemian and Moravian camps and prisons from 1945 to 1948 from murder, epidemics, starvation, and just general abuse. One such notorious concentration camp at the once German town of Budweis was commanded in the years 1945 to 1946 by Václav Hamecek, who later fled Czechoslovakia and went to Bavaria, where he was recognised by former German inmates of the camp and brought to trial before an American court of the Allied High Commission for Germany. He received an 8-year sentence for his criminal and cruel camp, a virtual centre of sadism. Similar conditions were found in the internment camp near Kolin, where internees were raped, beaten and killed. According to some estimates, approximately 10,000 people died in Bohemian and Moravian camps and prisons from 1945 to 1948. Some people were crammed in freight cars and shipped out, such as the cramped, thirsty transport of Sudeten Germans from Troppau in Czech Silesia that arrived in Berlin in August of 1945. After 18 hellish days of travel, only 1,350 out of 4,250 women, children and old people were left still alive. Many were forced to walk. Reduced to skin and bones, the refugees were starving on the roadsides, with women, children and babies dead in the ditches. Those Germans who made it alive to a bombed-out, starving and already overstrained West Germany were regarded at times as unwanted foreigners. They had to struggle to fit in and were lucky to get even menial jobs. Likewise, local Carpathian Germans either fled or were killed in death camps such as Svaljava. 700 people from Thurinsertal were taken for slave labour in Siberia, the last ones not being freed until 1969. At the end of 1946, after evacuation, about 24,000 ethnic Germans still remained alive in Slovakia. Although most overt violence against German civilians in Slovakia ended in the late 1940s, the years of discrimination resulted in a quick and disparate assimilation. The figures of Sudeten German deaths as a result of the ethnic cleansing process range from a ridiculously low Czech, together with modern apologetic German, estimate of 15,000, which blurs the issue by distorting the true count, to the traditional standard figure of 270,000, i.e. the figure from the Sudetendeutsche Landsmannschaft, which stood for almost half a century. Likewise, figures from the Brünn death march alone range from an older figure of 20,000 to an unrealistic low today of 800. Of the several thousand who died in the process of ethnic cleansing, some sources state that 16,000 alone were documented as dying from direct violent deaths and 6,000 from suicides during the expulsion, with thousands more dying from hunger and illness as a consequence. Like the Allied bombing mortality figures, they are consistently being revised downward and never readjusted as higher. The Germanic villagers, living for centuries along the sections of ancient salt routes through the present-day Czech Republic, were all rounded up and either murdered or exiled, their homes and their farms brazenly stolen. The place names of German villages and cities in these areas were all changed and their histories subsequently stolen, erased or rewritten. An example is the farming village of Burnisch Ruhren, a centuries-old resting and watering place for salt trade horses going from Passau to Prachatice to exchange salt for wheat and barley. The village was laid out facing the morning sun against the mountain. The Germans were brutally expelled in 1944 at sunrise. In 1945, Budweis, now Czesk Budějovice, the entire ethnic German population living in the city was forced to assemble. Some were murdered outright, and the rest were forced into exile under horrible conditions, leaving their homes, farms and businesses behind. Today, Budweis is part of the present-day Czech Republic, with its German heritage rewritten as Czech. Even small hamlets were cleansed of their German histories. For well over 700 years, German-speaking people had inhabited Zuckmantel, the birthplace of Franz Schubert's mother, Maria Weitz, 1756-1812, until the very last remnants of them were cruelly driven out at the end of World War II, between December and January of 1946. Their new Czech masters, almost overnight, by gunpoint, issued the following directive upon banishing them: that the inhabitants must leave their houses, completely furnished, curtains, carpets, lamps, bed linen, with beds to be freshly made for two persons per home. The luggage may not be packed in carpets and coats, certified luggage for a person, 30 kilos and 10 kilos hand baggage. All else is to be left in the home. These citizens were never repaid for the theft of their homes and properties. Zuckmantel, now Zlatohory, was the home of Schubert's father, Franz Theodor Schubert. He moved in 1783 from German-speaking Neudorf near Marisch-Schönberg in the Sudetenland to Vienna. There were also genocidal expulsions from here after the war's end. The ethnic and cultural face of the whole land was changed, even in the smallest of villages and the most remote hilltop hamlets. For example, a German population was expelled and replaced by Poles on the rugged northern Silesian side of the Reisenberg mountain range and by Czechs on the southern Bohemian side. The brutal ethnic cleansing program, innocuously termed a population exchange, led to a decline of the cultural landscape, and in many large parts of the mountains, the meadows went to seed, settlements vanished, and hundreds of traditional mountain houses, chapels and monuments decayed or destroyed because they were German in origin. Quote, "Liberi will never again be Reichenberg. We will clear Liberi of the German enemies, and we will do it so thoroughly that not the smallest place will remain where the German seed could grow once more. We shall expel all the Germans. We shall confiscate their property. and shall denationalise not only the town, but the whole area, so that the victorious spirit of Slavdom shall permeate the country from the frontier range to the interior. The government is determined to settle the question of the Germans uncompromisingly and unflinchingly. We are aware that, in the West, various reactionary protectors of the Germans are at work, but the government will not be misled or softened by any pressure, any campaign, any libelous attacks. It is for us a decisive and encouraging fact that the Soviet Union stands by us in the question of transferring the Germans, and that Marshal Stalin himself has the greatest possible understanding for our endeavours to get rid of the Germans. We will not allow even some hundreds of thousands of Germans to remain in this country. We do not want any Germans along our northwestern frontier. We want Czechoslovakia to form one integrally Slav territory with Poland and the Soviet Union. Close quote. Kopecky, the Stalinist minister of propaganda to the Czech cabinet, stated this in a speech at Reichenberg, or now Liberi, on July 25, 1945. And Jan Masaryk, the son of Czech founding president Tomáš Masaryk, boasted that the Czech nation was finally, quote, over with the Germans of Czechoslovakia. There is no possible way to get us to live under the same umbrella again, close quote. Goblonz and Deněv in northern Bohemia was the second largest town of the Reichenberg region, and it had for centuries a large German majority, mainly glassblowers and glassworkers. After the Czech decree that all property belonging to the German race be confiscated without compensation, many of the Germans who were expelled from Goblonz, or now Jablonec, migrated near to the old Bavarian town of Kaufbeuren, where they founded the township of Neugoblonz. That some Czechs, in the same manner as some Poles, Yugoslavians and others, who in this manner acquired German properties, have literally buried evidence of their own complicity in the ethnic killings and expulsions, while demanding blood money from the German government for themselves as restitution and reparations, is unconscionable. Regardless of whether only 20,000 were killed in the expulsions, or 250,000. The fact remains that Czechoslovaks ultimately destroyed an entire ethnic community of more than 3 million civilians, which by standards involving any other ethnic group other than Germans would constitute genocide.